who is it that I do the best business with? What does that look like? How do you describe those things? And when I'm clear, it's very easy to see what that looks like when it comes my way. And more importantly, it's very easy to identify when it's not. Mm-hmm. So when you do identify, it doesn't have to be icky or an adversarial conversation. It just has to be, here's where we shine. Here's where we're the strongest. That's not where your business is right now. Or maybe you're too early for me. This is when you're going to want to bring me back to the table. Or you're a services-based company and we work with software startups. Here are some alternatives for you to consider. Thank you so much for thinking of me. We're not aligned. In my mind, alignment is everything. If we are not aligned, we are not going to be doing things together for very long. So I've said this before and I'll say it again. Alignment is the new loyalty, and it really is.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here live with Amy Volis. Amy, what's up? How are you today?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you for so many reasons. We'll start with the bio just because you deserve, the audience deserves to know what you're doing. And if they don't already connect with you on LinkedIn and see how, you know, just verbal you are there and how helpful you are there with your content, they should connect with you on LinkedIn. But you do more than just hang out on LinkedIn, right, Amy? You're the founder and CEO of Avenue Talent Partners. You've been in the startup and sales trenches for decades now. So nowadays you are an early stage strategic advisor. Personally closed over $100 million in business. Is that correct?
It is correct. Fun fact. Thank you.
Fun fact. Co-host of the Thursday night sales, happy hour sales talk with Scott Lease, who I think has a nicer beard than I do.
He actually recently shaved. So it is, I think you have a more significant beard at this moment than he does. But
at this moment. Probably. The man can grow a great beard, and I've attended one of those sessions, no BS, no fluff, sales strategy, helpfulness. I love it. You're also a host of your own podcast, Tales from the Field podcast. And as you said, you're vocal and influential on LinkedIn. So Amy, again, honor to be here with you. I know that you are a big Simon Sinek fan. I am as well. So let's start there. Obviously, you do so many things, but at the core, what is your why? What is your purpose? Why do you do what you do, Amy?
So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. So I think the big part of it is I want to show people through walking my talk, not just talking a big game, that you can do really big business and you can be wildly successful without cutting corners or being a jerk and thinking through the long game and why that matters. And I've been in the game a really long time. I've learned a thing or two. I've seen a thing or two. I've messed up more than a thing or two. And those were really hard lessons to learn. And I continue to learn things. And I think for me, looking at our ecosystem, and looking at some of the struggles that people have, it's really lovely to pay forward some of that, to watch people grow and thrive and learn as a result of that. So a big part of my why is I'm here to help, and I've mastered a lot, and being able to take that and apply it to my own business or apply it to something like Thursday Night Sales that's meant to help people at scale, that's really cool to be a part of. So that's a big thing for me.
It is really cool. And you are a giver. You are here to help. Thursday Night Sales, that's entirely free, right? Where people just show up. And I'm mindful of this. Your time is tremendously valuable. And the fact you and Scott will sit there for hours on end answering every sales question is brilliant. It's a brilliant gift to everyone. Well, tell us a little bit about what Thursday Night Sales is from your perspective. What do you guys do?
So Scott and I are committed to creating a safe place where we don't record it. We don't allow people to record it. And the things that we talk about are topical to what the community wants. So our conversations are driven by the folks that show up and the questions that they have. And so the goal for us is to help people. And sometimes that help is through, and you've probably seen a little bit of this. Sometimes that help is through a little bit of tough love. I call it giving people some peace and love. And really what that's meant to be is, sometimes the help that we need the most isn't what we want, but it's what we need to hear. And Scott and I are not afraid to do that. And our goal is to come together and have some fun, have some straight talk, get better together. There are things that people talk about in the topics that come up that help me think about things differently, that help me continue to get better. So it's really this big community where people genuinely care about each other and want to be themselves in a safe place. We do not celebrate or promote shaming or canceling or anything along those lines. And one of the coolest things that I'm really proud of that Scott and I do together is show people that you don't always have to agree, and you can disagree, and there's a way to do that without being a jerk. And I'm really proud of what that's all about. So thank you for asking.
Absolutely. There's a way to disagree without being a jerk, but you guys are straight talk. You are no fluff, and really helping people. So let's walk through. It can be a circumstance of someone you've helped or a personal story. When in your life or in a client's life did you just see them really struggling and there really wasn't any sugarcoating it? You needed to be able to help them. Take us through one of maybe these case studies you've been through.
It happens all the time. Right. So a lot of the
every
things,
day, right?
Yeah, well, to a certain degree, right. The work that I do, I deal with people, right? So I'm in the people business, literally. And a lot of the time I see founders that I work with, they're afraid. They've got a lot of visibility with the board. They've got a lot of pressure from the board. They've got money from VCs. And, especially when they haven't always gotten that decision of hiring a sales leader, right? So I run an executive search firm, and we help founders with SaaS startups place VPs of sales and CS. That's my jam. And a big driver of demand for my business is when they get it wrong and they need to clean up after that. And it's really painful. It's really costly. It's a 7-figure problem. It's a big deal. And so if you haven't gotten it right, there's a real fear about making that next decision. And then on the flip side, we hear about turnover in our profession all the time, at the leadership level, at the rep level, in and around sales. And if somebody hasn't made the best decisions, or they're reeling from something not working out, those are all things that I deal with on the regular. And I just wrote a posting about it today. It's like, look, if you haven't worked through your things, or you're not really clear on what good looks like, how in the world can anybody else help you? And that's probably when you should stop interviewing. You should stop the process. If you're a founder, you should stop interviewing. If you're a person, more is not more. Mm. You know, quality will always be paramount and first in my mind versus quality. And you can always tell when people just show up to just interview versus being really intentional and prepared and excited and enthusiastic, and they care and they're leaning in and they can speak to their experience. There's a really big difference between those two things. So that's a lot of the work that I do, is really peeling back the layers to understand, well, what does good look like? And if, as long as we're clear on that, we can work within that framework, and let's make sure that, you know, we understand what that is so that we can go out and create connections that are meaningful. And because of that, I don't have major turnover problems with the clients that we work with, which is great.
It is great. And it is asking that question, what does good look like, finding quality clients? And this is kind of a two-part question thought I'm having. So obviously you've closed over $100 million in sales. So any client that works with you knows that you are legit. So there's two parts to this. Part one would be, how do you vet and make sure you're working with the right client? Because if you're not, you're doing yourself a disservice and you can't help them to the extent possible. And then part two would be, once you are with that good client, how do we ensure that they're doing the same thing you just did and they're vetting and bringing in the right employees, partners, so on and so forth? Well, what's your experience with that?
Yeah. So a lot of the things that made me successful in my sales career parlayed to how I run my business and how I run the searches that we do with our clients. You mentioned the word vetting my clients. You are absolutely right, Ben. For the win, you win the day. I tell them, look, I know that this conversation is going to be a little different than maybe what you anticipated. You want to learn about me, and I'm here to help you do that. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you have and to make sure that you're comfortable. And even if it's not me, it's a really big decision, and let's walk through it together. But that being said, there's going to be a time, if this makes sense, where I need to peel back the layers and understand what you're all about. And so I think part of that is clarity, right? So even in my own sales career, what am I here to do? What is my ICP? So that doesn't change with the work that I do here is for how I run my searches with my clients and how I think about this. And so I'll make statements around, this is what we do. And then I'll look for how they respond. And then I seek to understand, how is it that you like to work? What does that look like for you? Where are you within your milestones? What are some of the lessons you've learned if you've gotten it wrong? You know, there are a lot of things that I quantify and qualify that are not necessarily boxes that you tick, but more about how people show up. Because I run a recruiting firm and I care about experience, not just for them, but also for my candidates. And if they're treating me poorly in the process or dismissing me or being jerks or whatever the case may be, they're not going to be any different in the interview process. And so, you know, I look for those tangible and non-tangible things that make a search effective. And then on the flip side, for the candidates that we work with, the same thing, right? So what's important to you? What are the things that you've done really well in your career? Why? What's the kind of work that you want to be doing? How? And if I am not clear on that, there's no way that I can help you, right? If you're not clear with me, how in the world are you going to be clear with my clients? So I run a very tight ship that way. And what's the process that I use to make sure that we do this? So everything that I do is all around the people, but it also is fueled by a very rigorous process. And part of that process, without, you know, sharing all of my tricks that I have up my sleeve,
sure,
is I'm a big believer of a scorecard. So when we're clear and intentional up front, I will not work on a search until I'm clear and intentional. And so when we're clear and we go through a very rigorous and thoughtful and thorough kickoff and discovery process, and that also is baked into our process with our candidates. So we're clear, they're clear, we know what good looks like. And when you know what good looks like, you can make good decisions. When you don't know what good looks like, you don't know how to make a good decision. You're just hoping for the best. I'm not here for hope. I'm here for precision.
Not here for hope, here for precision. Alignment is the new loyalty. I've got so many tweetables. I love this, Amy. a lot of my listeners, they are revenue driven, but they aren't necessarily all in a startup. Some are salespeople, small business owners, this or that. What would just an average person, and again, you don't have to give away all the secret sauce. What's one tip that you would give us to start determining like who we do want to align with, like what our value set is and who we actually want to be working with as partners and ultimately as clients? You know, is there any fast, easy way to get started? And I know it's not fast and easy, but
Well, I mean, I think it, let's channel our inner Simon Sinek for a second. I think it starts with why. Like, I can't give, for anybody that's listening, and I have worked in big companies like Yahoo and been part of teeny tiny startups at the time where I was employee number 20 something at Indeed. Those are very different things, right? So whether it's somebody from a big company or small company, a sales leader or an individual contributor, whoever's joining us to listen, I can't answer that for you.
Right.
But what I can do is guide you. And the guide there is why? Why are you doing this? Why does it matter? And once you understand why you want to do something, then you can get into the what, then you can get into the how. So I remember when I started my company, I had no idea. If you would have asked me, so my company's been around going into 7 years. If you would have asked me 8 years ago, or not even asked me, if you would have told me, forget about asking, you would have said, Amy, I have a crystal ball and I know that you're going to own an executive search firm. I would have laughed you out of the room and been like, no way. Wow. There is no way that I'm going to be doing that. Because recruiting made me cringe internally and externally. It's heavily broken, highly flawed. So I started thinking about like, well, why do I feel that way? And I've been in the game selling products and services to HR tech, recruiting talent acquisition folk, helping them solve their problems. Those problems don't go away, and recruiting either helps it or makes it worse. I know how to solve that problem. So see how there's a why. The why is, doesn't have to be broken. It doesn't have to be this way. And I want to show people that it doesn't have to be this way. And so my why is like what we just talked about up front when you asked me, see how that all ties together. Right. So then when I knew why, like, oh, wait, why? The why is it doesn't have to be this way. And I know that it doesn't have to be this way. And I've seen it and I can actually help. And that's really important for me. And I want to leave this paper trail behind of showing, not just telling. How many recruiting firms tell you like people first and making connections and da 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 da. And then you work with them and it's like the worst experience in your entire life internally and externally. And it's like, wait, it doesn't have to be that way. I care deeply about that. I care deeply about sales. So start connecting the dots. Well, wait, sales also turns over almost 3 times more than anything else. See where I'm going with this for anybody that's listening. So my why then led me down a path to create a company that before I did that company, I never thought that I would do. And flash forward to today, I feel like it's my life's work. I feel like I was put on this planet to do this. It is meaningful to me. It is in every fiber of my being. It matters. And as a result of that mattering, we do really good business and business that I'm really proud of. So see how, and I went down a little bit of a longer path, Ben, but that's why it starts with why. Notice how I didn't start with the how or the what. It was just thinking about, well, what are the things that, and it, for me, it started what I don't like, what I think is broken. And I think so many people have to, it's almost easier, at least for me, it's always been easier to think about the things that I don't want to do and that I don't like doing, where then what I am going to do or what I want to do becomes very clear as a result of that.
This is powerful insight, Amy. And because you're so aligned with your why and your purpose here, it allows you to show up as your best self and be one of the best, if not the best, in the world at what you do. So a lot of us understand, maybe we already kind of have a gist of our why. We know our purpose. We have a vision. Let's talk about sales, because the ability to sell, persuade, call to action is massively important, right? And I can have the strongest why in the world, but if I don't know how to verbalize it, I can only get so far. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm wondering, because sales is such a big landscape of information, you personally, do you have a specific sales style? What do you recommend for someone who maybe understands their why? They have a vision, they have passion, they have a purpose, they know that they can change lives, but they just don't know how to sell or verbalize it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a different problem, yeah, right? So the why is really shapes the story that you tell. And my style is storytelling.
Got it.
Because when you tell a good story and it means something to somebody else, it's magnetic because they feel seen, heard, understood, right? So ultimately, the human nature of things is I want to feel seen. I want to feel heard. I want to feel understood. I want to feel validated. And I actually want to feel valued. Those are like the things that I live by. Well, if I live by that and you're doing this, you're nodding your head. I'm not alone. That's human nature. And so I think instead of relying on the crutches of the deck and the features and the benefits, and actually I was on a different podcast last week and I had this aha moment with this gentleman. I was like, oh my gosh, I grew up first selling services before I sold any products. And that was a gift because when you're selling services, it's a highly visualized sale and it never goes away because one project leads to another project. You have to continue to be sticky. You have to continue to be valuable. You have to continue to be compelling for them, not for me. And I think with products, it's really easy and it's a crutch to focus on your features and benefits, to focus on your demo, to focus on your deck. Well, I didn't have a deck, right? I never used a deck. It was about having a real business conversation. And so my answer to your question is, if you were to run into me in a hallway, and I don't know anything about what you do, how would you describe it to me like I'm a fifth grader to make it easy for me to understand? That's how you get started, right? So if you look at your why, everything that I told you, that is part of how I talk with people. Notice how talk with people. I'm not talking at them. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking with people. And when I'm talking with people and we're getting to know each other, I always start with my why. Before I say, well, we're an executive search firm and we've been around for 7 years. Duh. Anybody can see that. Thank you, Mrs. of the obvious. Like, who cares? The point is, what will make me different? And I'm in a highly competitive, very cluttered space. I don't even think about my competitors. What I think about is why I'm here. And when I'm clear, that's like a magnet, like attracts like. So part of how you tell that story is you use your why. So if I'm selling commission software, right? The way that I talk about it is I wouldn't pull up a deck and a demo being like, this is what it looks like. Now, of course, if your buyer wants to see that, you meet them where they are and you say, what part would you like to see? I'm happy to show you. Why is that important to you?
Right.
But before we even get there, me introducing it, hey, do you like it when people mess with your money? Nobody's going to be like, yeah, please mess with my money. Great. Me too. Let's talk about why that's important. I just opened a discussion. We're going to talk about why that's important. We're going to talk about how they think about that. Is it just on spreadsheets? Do they have commission-based software? Are they thinking about that? What's their turnover like on their team? Is their team struggling with this? Isn't it an administrative nightmare for everybody around the table to figure out how they get paid? See how I'm talking about this? I don't even work for a commission software. I'm just using it as an example.
Right.
But see how I'm thinking through it to have a business conversation versus showing up to do a discovery, to book a meeting, to then have, you know, like those steps become very fluid when you show up to have a discussion.
What I'm hearing is like a serious seeking to understand at a something higher than just what we know is building rapport. You know, we sat down today. I could have been like, Amy, I love your glasses, or, oh, you've got that thing in the background. And it's kind of like this assumption that a salesperson's going to come in. Oh, you like golf? I like golf too. Oh, you're a Bills fan? I'm a Bills fan too. It's very surface level. But it seems by telling your why and connecting it to what they do and then seeking to understand where you fit in their world, that is building rapport, right? But it's at a deeper level. What are your thoughts on that? To me, it feels like you're building almost absolute rapport based on something internal rather than something external like our favorite football team.
Well, our favorite football team isn't going to get me the deal.
Right.
Right. Like that's just, I can't tell you how many people approach me and they're like, I know you're a Simon Sinek fan. I am too. Let me tell you about how we save recruiting firms. What? Like I'm a huge Simon Sinek fan and it connects with me deeply, but you didn't give me any context as to why I should care. So when I'm talking about my why, it's in context as to why they care. I know one of the biggest problems founders I work with face is when they get it wrong, it's really, really painful. It's a seven-figure problem. So when I'm talking about why I'm here to solve that problem, it connects on a deeper level. And I don't have to. Now, look, I'm a human being, and I just talked to a woman yesterday and was on video. I was introduced to a founder, and she was like, "You have a little bit of an echo." And I was like, "It's not my audio. We're going through a major home renovation." She was like, "Oh my gosh, my husband went to IKEA and tried to do that hack with our shelves. And yeah, that's not easy to do. And we were dying over, you know, what you see on TikTok or YouTube, making it look really easy where it falls apart in disaster in practice." And then we got into home renovations, and then we got to the brass tacks of why we're talking. Rapport building is important. That's part of having, I'm not a robot, I'm a human. But I think it's the ability to connect the dots. And as my friend Sam McKenna would say, and I totally believe this, whether it's our cold outreach or whether it's the first call or whether it's the 50th call, I am really, really in agreement with her messaging around show me, you know me. When you show me, so it's one thing to be like a Bills fan, but how do you tie that into why you're even there to talk to us? So great. I saw that you're a Bills fan. What about that? So for example, I saw somebody collected really bougie watches and they helped me with something. I went out of my way to seek out a book that talked about the history of these bougie watches, and I gave it to him. That's how I was able to show him that I knew him and that I valued him. I didn't start with that though in the conversation. I saved that kernel of wisdom for later when it mattered. So it's about timing, but if it's a first sort of like cold thing, and I'm a busy executive, so I'm a founder and a seller. So I have this interesting lens of understanding both. I get cold calls and people just start pitching me. No, nope, you're not going to get very far with me. Or I get people where they're like, "I see you're a Simon Sinek fan." I'm like, "So what?"
Right.
So what? Like, so I think that's my point here is what is the so what factor? That's the dot connection that I'm talking about.
What is the so what factor? One of my favorite John Ruhlin lines, writer of Giftology, is it's not the thought that counts, it's the thoughtful thought that counts. It's beyond, oh, I know you're a Simon Sinek fan. It's let's find a way that we can use that knowledge to actually create tremendous value and connection. Wow. I'm thinking to myself just different ways that I can utilize this in my career and my clients. I'm going to be on a soapbox for a moment, Amy, and I promise there's a reason behind it. I started my marketing and sales career in traditional bro culture, like literally the bro culture. It was like the Wolf of Wall Street, but ethical and, you know, ringing the phone, $200 a day, smashing gongs. I was disenchanted. All I learned how to sell at that time was feature and benefits. It was feature, 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 benefit, 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 value, 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 close you on the spot, and just hope that they end up not into bad pay. And that was the whole thing. And I'm getting burnt out, and I'm struggling. I'm a listener. I'm more thoughtful than the traditional just, a lot of cocaine use, things like that. Just not my style, right? And I remember I had my best day in 6 months, top of the board, like 2X everyone else. And I'm just bloodshot. And everyone's like, "Ben, hit the gong, hit the gong." And I'm like, and I like half-heartedly hit the gong. And my sales manager goes, "You look miserable." And I was. I didn't come to terms with that at that time. But I saw that toxicity there. And I'm not saying that cultures like that don't work for some people. It definitely didn't work for me. What has been your experience with a culture like that, or just toxic sales and non-diverse toxic sales environments as a whole? What are your thoughts on that story? Expand a little bit for me.
Well, what are my thoughts? It's like kryptonite for me. Like, I'm not interested in that. And I've seen it and I've been part of it, right? So I worked for a particular company where I was remote. I've worked remote for many, many years. I was remote and the corporate office was exactly what you're describing. And then some. I'll never forget, we had a summer party, and the summer party was meant to like come together, do some training, get the team together, talk about the state of the business, and then there would be this summer party to celebrate that. And I'll never forget, with this particular company, I would have to schedule around being out of town because I knew it was like a useless waste of my time. I couldn't have productive strategic calls when I was there because I didn't have a private office to speak in. I was dealing with enterprise clients, and there would be gongs and screaming profanity. And look, I've got a potty mouth. I love the power of a swear word, but time and place.
Sure.
And it was highly distracting. And I'll never forget, I had 3 meetings the next day with executive leadership about really big things that needed to be discussed. And because they had partied so hard the night before, nobody was able to make it into the office. With a particular executive, he had 3 people sleeping in his hotel room, 2 of the opposite sex, 2 or 4 levels below where he was. And there was a lot of bad behavior happening in that room. And it's like, you know, you set the stage for everything else as an executive leader. That's unacceptable. And so, you know, for me, I was able to divorce myself from it because I just got on a plane and I went home and I could control what I could control, and all that shenanigans stuff really didn't have anything to do with me in the day to day. That being said, this is the thing, and maybe I'm old school, but this is a hard truth. Work is work. Work isn't a playground, right? So it's like time to get off the playground and get back into the classroom. That's the world that I live in, where it's like, okay, like we're here to do a business. And so there are different flavors. It's like, you know, 31 flavors, the ice cream shop, there are different flavors for everybody. And if that's your jam and you want to do a bunch of bad business by shoving people into icky deals that are going to churn later, and I hope you don't have a clawback because that's going to hurt your paycheck later. But you know, if that's what you want to do, great. Mm. Be my guest. I will not have anything to do with it. I will not support it. I will not do business in it. I just, that's not for me. So I think this is what I preach. Get clear. Mm. Right. So what you said out loud, I'm more cerebral. I'm a listener. I don't really want to do those things. That's not my jam. Awesome. You know, there are plenty of businesses, good businesses, that celebrate that, that support that. What I find is that a lot of the people get caught up in the shiniest of objects of like, oh, this is a company that got 50 rounds of funding and they're worth $100 billion and they're run so poorly, they're going to be the next Theranos story. It's like, just because it's shiny and everybody else talks about it doesn't mean that it's good for you. And when you're clear, it doesn't matter about what everybody else says. It's kind of like that, you know, when you're growing up, your parent probably said this to you. I know my mom said this to me a million times. If everybody else were to jump off a bridge, does that mean that you need to too? And the answer is no.
Of course not.
And so I think it's the same thing where it's like, when I'm clear, when I know what I like to do. So I was always in enterprise sales. I never was an inside seller. And not that I have an issue with that, that just wasn't my jam. Also, inside sales wasn't really a thing when I was coming up through the ranks. So, you know, that's me. That's my love language. If I'm going to go and hold a bag again or carry a bag again, that's going to be what I want to be doing. Right. So I'm not just going to start taking conversations because these are sales jobs and they're throwing me a bunch of money and everybody else is doing it, so I should too. So I think that clarity, that's what I mean by clarity. What do you like doing? Right. More importantly, let's go back to what I said. What don't you like to do? So let's take you as an example. Okay. So you don't want to hang out with a bunch of cokeheads. Okay. Me too. Same. You don't really care about the gong blazing on the sales floor. You don't really care about the bro culture. That's not your cup of tea. That carries weight. That's very clear for you of what you don't want to do. Okay, well, let's reverse engineer it. If you left there and you did something else, why? And what about that something else were you really excited about? And then when you got there, was it as exciting as what you thought? And on those good days, what was the work? Who are you doing the work with? Hmm. What was the outcome? How long did it take you? That starts helping you understand, are you enterprise? Are you mid-market? Are you field? Are you channel? Like, what are you? And then that clarity helps you be really crisp about the opportunities that you decide to talk about. Also, for anybody hiring, the same rules apply. You just have to reverse engineer it. What is the work that it takes for this person to be successful in this role? And once you're clear, then you can have a really productive interview, right? So then I can ask you, hey, Ben, when you're working your tail feather off, how do you like to celebrate your wins? And if you're like, I need to do a rail of coke and bang on the gong, you're not my person that I'm going to hire. And right. I'm being funny here because how many people do you know that say that in an interview? I'm sure there's somebody that has done that.
Sure.
But you know, if somebody's like, I really thrive on high velocity inside selling and I need that energy of the gong and the contests and the kegs on Friday, I'm going to be the first person to say, I hear you. And you told me X, Y, and Z is important to you. We don't have that here. I don't think it's a great opportunity for you.
Right.
Everyone feels seen, heard, understood, and it's not icky. And isn't it better to understand it now than later when it gets icky? These are the things that I represent.
And if anyone feels like they're in an icky situation or might be, I just invite you to think about this. Rewind 5 minutes. Take a couple notes, whether or not you're confident you're in an icky situation or not, getting that clarity, getting that alignment, understanding that why, tremendously valuable, Amy. I've learned so much in 20, 30 minutes with you. I know the listeners did as well. We're going to close with a rapid fire round. Short, sweet, either or, fill in the blank questions, completely subjective to whatever the heck you want to answer. So we will start with coffee or tea?
Tea, all day long.
Beer or wine?
Bubbles or dark beer. It depends on the mood. So there you go.
You can fill in any blanks you want. So we'll do morning person. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
I used to be, and now I'm a night owl. Like, I'm changing. What?
What?
Who am I right now? What is this? Who is this person?
Who is this Amy? Longer form one. What are you excited about? What are you learning right now? What's getting you out of bed in the morning?
I am trying to figure out how to finish the rest of my home renovation because I'm almost there. It's been going on for over 2 years and we're at the tail end. So I am trying to figure out what kind of art I want to put on my walls.
Congratulations on that. I'm excited for you. Last one, other than a Simon Sinek book, given the conversation we've had today, what book, educational material would you recommend for the listeners to go check out?
I loved Undaunted by Kara Golden. She's the founder of Hintwater, and her story is wonderful about facing adversity, about having a why, about doing the work, about persevering through the hardest of times. It's an excellent book. Some really great takeaways there.
Adding it to my list, Amy. And obviously, anyone who isn't following Connected with Amy on LinkedIn, you're doing yourself a disservice. That's my opinion. I think I'm right. How else, where should people connect with you? What should be the next step, Amy?
Well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. So I do Live Out Loud on LinkedIn, and you can find me there. I'm on Twitter as well. Avenue Talent Partners is my website. And every Thursday, I show up with Scott, and we're at Thursday Night Sales. So to register for that, it's ThursdayNightSales.com. If you cannot find me in any one of those places, there is something wrong.
So
thank you.
The listeners will. Let me advocate for Thursday Night Sales. I attended one session and I was drooling the entire time because it was so raw. It was so real. Questions I didn't even know I had were getting answered. So thank you for that. All of that is in the show notes, Amy. And thanks again for taking the time with me. Tremendously grateful for it. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me. This was a lovely conversation. I hope for anybody listening, it was helpful. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.